Welcome, everybody, here watching online. It is Senior Recognition Sunday. We've got some great seniors up here and soon to be senior. This is Ty Nelson. Y'all give a little love for Ty here. You might see a resemblance.
Yeah, that hair.
That's it. So, Ty, you graduated from Parkway High School. Ashton, make some noise for Ashton. We're waking up there. You are going to be a senior at Benton this next year. We'll let you sneak in early. And then Ian Hagler over there on the base. He has a lot more hair than his dad, too.
Yes, he does.
That's right. But we are so excited to recognize these graduating seniors. The future is bright. They are going to lead us this morning.
That's right.
We have a senior video, a bunch of seniors sent in their pictures. If you're watching online, you're senior somewhere, we just want to say thank you. Thanks for being a part of the Simple Church. It's going to be a great day. Ty, you ready? Ty is going to be singing this morning.
Yes.
Little throwback U2 song.
Can y'all do a little bit better job than you do for me when I sing and really encourage him this morning? Smile. Just
it's
say,
early.
Hey,
everybody in this crowd looks ready, though. Y'all ready?
Come
We're
on.
Waking up
they
this morning.
Help. You ready?
That's it. Ty, take it away, bro. Y'all going to do great.
Here we go.
Hollies are blue, the shoots up through the stony ground, but there's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of love, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend out of this place, there's someone you could lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day.
Don't know you don't.
keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Bring everything right back to ground zero. Cause it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. We live in a world that keeps breaking. But if we want to find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people.
Let's go. Come on, y'all. Give it a little love for these seniors. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're like, man, don't we typically do two songs? Well, today we're only doing one because of our special guest. So give them one more round of applause. Let them know how much we're thankful for them. Great job, y'all. See, my son needs a haircut, y'all. Come on, man. Rock and roll. But Tyrone, she did a great job. Ty Nelson, man. Unbelievable. Ashton, great, great job. We are just very, very thankful for all of our graduating seniors. And today, they are having a reception upstairs. They are going to be enjoying that time together. So if you're here to celebrate with them, thank you for coming. If you're watching online, thank you again for being a part. Don't forget, man, you can send in your videos. Anytime we're doing dedication or we're doing a recognition of seniors or whatever, please, man, send it in to us so we can have a little fun with that and recognize you as well. So are you ready for a good day today? Come on, man, let me hear you. Man, the sun is out. Can I get an amen on that, man? It is so good to see the sun out. So we're having a lot of fun today, but it is all about the graduating seniors. And as I go into a message for them, I got a little secret for you. It applies to all of us. It doesn't matter who you are, what age you are. This message, of course, is directed towards seniors, but it will be a lesson for all of us that will help us. And it is all about good advice, bad advice. And today, in today's message, I have both, a little good advice and a little bad advice. So we're going to start with dating advice. Are you ready for this? Anybody need some dating advice? Oh, yeah, everybody said, no, I don't want to date at all. All right, here we go. Dating advice. Name is Eileen, right? She's a. Make sure he has a loaded wallet. Can I get an amen now? At 90 years old, boy, she knows what's up, son. She was like, hey, listen, if you're going to go for him, make sure you check that wallet, all right? So there you go. Make sure you remember that, all those young people out there. Also, I found a couple of different pictures to kind of help you with this. Not only dating advice, we also have... This is pretty good right here. This is driving advice. This is, I don't even know how to weather advice. Let me just show you this one right here. This is pretty good. Twitter advice from Chad SU42. If you rarely drive on snow, just pretend you're taking your grandma to church. There's a platter of biscuits and 2 gallons of sweet tea in glass jars in the back seat. She's wearing a new dress and holding a crock pot full of gravy. Can I get an amen now? It is true, when you live in the South, we don't handle weather very well, and we don't know how to drive, so I thought, that is too good. That's some good advice. So if you see a picture, or if you find some good advice out there, email it to me. I want to have some fun with it as we go through this series. So there's a couple that we found, but this is my favorite. This is health advice, because this health advice is coming from a kid to a teacher, all right? Most of the time, it's the teacher giving the kid advice, but here is the reverse, all right? Dear Mrs. Clark, I heard you did not feel good. You like that right there? Well, when that happens, here's a trick to learn. Just go poop. Can I get an amen on that? I'm not kidding. It works for me every morning. I fell bad. So just remember, when you fell bad, the first thing to do, poop. I don't feel good. I got it. Yay! Come on, so listen, if you find advice, all right, your kid, your grandson, your grandkids, you know, if you're a teacher, someone said, please send it in because you can't make this stuff up, all right? And then also, here's my favorite. Pat Worley, thank you for sending this in because Pat sent me one. There's a lot of people sending me emails, so I'm trying to catch up with all those, but here's a great one. I said, life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer it gets to the end, the faster it goes. Can I get an amen on that? There's all kind of advice out there. So I want you to know, we want your help. So please, whether that's Facebook or, like I said, my email, justin@thesimplechurch.tv, send it in so we can have a little fun with it. So here is the deal. I got a lot of confessions to make as we start talking about good advice and bad advice. And one is, most of you know this, but if you're new to Simple Church, you may not. I was a youth pastor for a long time. I served in student ministry for many, many, many years. And so as you help students, there's one thing that happens. They expect, or they kind of hope, that you will come to their graduation. And I have to admit, and I am confessing now, I hated and still hate graduation. Can I get an amen from somebody? Now, I know I'm excited for you, but I just want to wave and go, man, congratulations, and I'm excited for you, but I don't want to have to attend because they're boring, they're long, and so sometimes it's just like, oh my gosh, like how long do we have to do this? And when I was a youth pastor for 25 years or so, I went to a lot of graduations. So now, I did you a favor. I looked up some of the best graduation speeches just to kind of loosen up a little bit, because I knew we only had one song today with the kids, so it kind of, we're adding in some extra advice today to make it worth your time coming down watching this morning. And what I have researched is, first, when you go to see a graduation and someone speaks, you can only hope that they're going to be either funny, and that's what we're going to start with, inspiring, which I have something to inspire you, or just good. If they're going to speak, you're going, man, I hope this really moves me. So let's start with funny. You might recognize this speaker because he got invited to speak at a graduation, and here is some good advice, and this, once again, should make you laugh a little. Watch.
If you do have a moment where you feel a little down, just think of the support you have from this great Trojan family. And imagine me. Literally picture my face singing this song gently into your ear. And I will always love you. Will always love you, class of 2017. And I will always love you. Thank you. Fight on.
Come on, man. Give it up for Will Ferrell, huh? See, you thought you only had one song. We're going to bring a little bit more. There's Will Ferrell singing a little bit for you. That's the funny side of it. Which people enjoyed. You all saw the class was like, oh, this is awesome. But there's also something that can happen occasionally when you go to graduation, and that is that there is some speaker that inspires you, blows you away. And this is one of those speakers, Admiral McRaven. So if you've never heard of him, you don't know what he's about, this guy does a long speech that I've actually edited down just about a minute or so, a little over a minute. And he went through 10 things of how you succeed and how you can work through and change the world. And here he is just to inspire you this morning. And here's what a great speech looks like. Watch this.
The ninth week of training is referred to as Hell Week. It is 6 days of no sleep, constant physical and mental harassment, and one special day at the Mud Flats. The Mud Flats are an area between San Diego and Tijuana where the water runs off and creates the Tijuana Sloughs, a swampy patch of terrain where the mud will engulf you. It is on Wednesday of Hell Week that you paddle down to the Mud Flats and spend the next 15 hours trying to survive this freezing cold, the howling wind, and the incessant pressure to quit from the instructors. As the sun began to set that Wednesday evening, my training class, having committed some egregious infraction of the rules, was ordered into the mud. The mud consumed each man till there was nothing visible but our heads. The instructors told us we could leave the mud if only five men would quit. Only five men, just five men, and we could get out of the oppressive cold. Looking around the mud flat, it was apparent that some students were about to give up. It was still over 8 hours till the sun came up, eight more hours of bone-chilling cold. The chattering teeth and the shivering moans of the trainees were so loud, it was hard to hear anything. And then one voice began to echo through the night. One voice raised in song. The song was terribly out of tune, but sung with great enthusiasm. One voice became two, and two became three, and before long, everyone in the class was singing. The instructors threatened us with more time in the mud if we kept up the singing, but the singing persisted, and somehow the mud seemed a little warmer, and the wind a little tamer, and the dawn not so far away. If I have learned anything in my time traveling the world, it is the power of hope, the power of one person, a Washington, a Lincoln, King, Mandela, and even a young girl from Pakistan, Malala. One person can change the world by giving people hope. So if you want to change the world, start singing when you're up to your neck in mud.
Come on, y'all. Come on, give me a little love on that. Not only do you have graduating seniors, you have a lot of men and women going into our military for the first time. Would you give them a round of applause and thank them for what they're doing for us as well? You just can't forget, man, this is one of those times in people's lives where there's a big change and they're trying to figure all that out. So anybody who decides to serve our country, you're a hero to all of us. So thank you for doing that for us. And you literally inspire us with your service. So we're very, very grateful for that. So you have funny, you have inspirational, but then this might be my favorite of all time. This is your boy Denzel, because whenever he talks to you and he speaks, listen close, because he has the best advice at all, and I think, once again, we can all learn from it. Listen close to Denzel as he speaks to a graduating class. Watch.
Number one, put God first. Put God first in everything you do. Everything that you think you see in me, everything that I've accomplished, everything that you think I have, and I have a few things, everything that I have is by the grace of God. Understand that. It's a gift. 40 years ago, March 27th, 1975, it was 40 years ago, just this past March, I was flunking out of college. I had a 1.7 grade point average. I hope none of you can relate. At a 1.7 grade point average, I was sitting in my mother's beauty shop. They still call it beauty shop now? What they call it now? Yeah, I was sitting in the beauty parlor. I was sitting in my mother's beauty parlor, and I'm looking in the mirror, and I see behind me this woman under the dryer. And every time she looked up, every time I looked up, she was looking at me, just looking me in the eye. And I didn't know who she was, and I said, you know, she said, somebody give me a pen. Give me a pencil. I have a prophecy. March 27, 1975, she said, boy, you are going to travel the world and speak to millions of people. Now, mind you, I was flunked out of college. I'm thinking about joining the army. I didn't know what I was going to do. And she's telling me I'm going to travel the world and speak to millions of people. Well, I have traveled the world. And I have spoke to millions of people. But that's not the most important thing, the success that I had. The most important thing is that what she taught me and what she told me that day has stayed with me since. I've been protected. I've been directed. I've been corrected. I've kept God in my life and has kept me humble. I didn't always stick with him, but he always stuck with me. So stick with him in everything you do. If you think you want to do what you think I've done, then do what I've done and stick with God.
Come on, y'all. How about Denzel? So once again, a lot of good advice. You've seen the funny, you've seen the inspirational, and of course now Denzel, man, next level. Remind us to put God first. But some of you are saying, well, Justin, I appreciate all of that, but I want some practical advice. Now, because I had a teenager graduate last year, Hannah, and I have another one graduating this year, Ian, I know what's happening in our home. We're discussing the future. We're talking about God directing our steps. We're talking about, man, hanging tough when time get tough, like Admiral McRaven was saying. Yes, we laugh a lot, but we're also trying to go, man, it's a serious time. Everybody's trying to figure out what they're doing, and it's pretty heavy. So as I was preparing for this message, as I was looking up advice for graduation and all of these different things, I ran across something from this guy. This is, maybe you'll recognize him, he's Mark Cuban. Now, Mark Cuban is known for owning the Dallas Mavericks. Yes, they're in the playoffs right now. I saw that, which is pretty cool. But he's also known for Shark Tank. You've probably seen that TV show. But what I found in this next clip that I've edited down into two sections is very good advice for anyone who is graduating high school. Now, again, don't be offended if you've taken a different route. I just thought, man, that's pretty good advice right there. So as you're walking through and trying to navigate this crazy world, it is very wise to listen to others and go, man, what can they teach me? Some things you let slide, it doesn't apply to you. Other things you go, man, I can take something from that. And as I heard someone who is very successful, because that is the goal of all of us in here, man, we want to be successful. You go, what advice would he give? Well, here is Mark Cuban talking to you, high school graduates, with a little bit of advice. Watch.
My advice to a junior or about to be senior in high school is go to the cheapest school possible to get your freshman and maybe sophomore classes. You don't need to go to Harvard. Harvard, you know, introduction to writing and freshman English and freshman sociology, okay, you can make an argument it's going to be better than, you know, Joe Blow Junior College or community college, but the reality is you have to weigh that against if you're paying for your school or, more importantly, if you're borrowing money for your school, do you want to be saddled with $40,000, $50,000, $80,000, $100,000 in debt? I'll give up, you know, the incremental value of freshman English at a great school to not have the stress, you know, just physically on you and your family. And I think all that's going to change. Like, I went to Indiana. I love Indiana. I always recommend going to Indiana. You, Hoosiers. But the price for out of state has gotten ridiculous. There's a point of diminishing returns in terms of what it's worth for a college education and how much debt you're willing to saddle yourself with. I mean, $40,000 in debt. I don't want $40,000 in debt. You know, it's just, I think decision points have got to be different.
So here's the deal. As you're walking, some of you are like, absolutely, here's the deal. Some of you are going, okay, I can relate to that. And you're trying to figure out, where are you going today, Justin? Just hang in there. Trust me, you know how we are, man. I like to take you on this little bit of a run. I like for you to listen to a lot of different people. I like for you to get that advice. And I like for you to go, okay, man, maybe I can be better. Maybe it will help me succeed. So those are two high school graduates. Pretty interesting advice. Well, what about college graduates? There's also a lot of people graduating college right now, and they're looking for jobs and trying to figure all that out. Well, Mark Cuban comes back, and he gives you a little bit more advice, which I think is excellent advice, when he talks to people getting a job right out of college. Listen closely, and then I'm going to wrap it all together with a biblical perspective. Watch this.
Now let's pretend that you're just about to graduate from college.
Right.
What's the advice?
You don't need the perfect job. You know, part of the problem is you probably have $100,000 of debt, right? My advice, general advice, is assuming there's not just the bills you got to pay that are just enormous, is you paid all that money to learn. Now here's your chance to get paid to learn. And you don't need the perfect job. You need to get a job where you can make some money, but also where you can learn and add it to your portfolio of knowledge, add it to your foundation, because as much as we want to think that we know exactly what our mission in life is and what our chosen profession is going to be at 22, no. There's just no chance that the 30-year-old or even the 25-year-old is going to look back at the 21 or 22-year-old you and say, oh, that dude had it all together, knew exactly what was up, right? He's going to look back and go, beer pong, what were you thinking, you know? And so don't expect to have all the answers and don't try to get the perfect job. Go out there and get paid to have different experiences, and it's okay to jump from job to job if it's not the right job. You are getting paid to learn. Flip it and then use that to build your knowledge and learn more about yourself, learn how to learn in business, and see where it can take you.
Come on, man. Give it up for Mark Cuban. Give you some good advice. So I know what some of you are thinking. You're like, man, come on, keep it real, dude. If I had Mark's money, man, I'd be glad, you know, to do whatever. It'd be good for me, too. Well, I did look that up. If you want to know why I would even show Mark Cuban, like, what does that got to do with anything? The goal is success. The goal is that when someone graduates, or for us that have graduated for a long time, it's for us to be successful. $4.4 billion is one level of success. I don't think anybody in this room has achieved. Have you? Please, tithe, please, if you do tithe, all right? No. $4.4 billion is his net worth. So when you start thinking like, well, why would you care? What does it matter? Because here is the truth for all of us in this room. And this is even what we're doing to our kids, what we're saying to our kids, and how we're leading our kids and the way the systems are set up. You ready for this? How many in this room believe that a little more money would make life better or easier for you? Is everybody like, yes, sir? Absolutely. If I had a little bit more money, I'd be better. I'd be better off. My son, Ian, who played bass today, is an intern at the Simple Church. He is broke, all right? I'm going to tell you. I know who handles the pay up here, and I'm going to tell you, he makes very little money. He can barely fill his gas tank to, quote, volunteer/intern at the office. So people are saying, well, isn't graduation awesome because people give him money? Yes. Our address is 2950. Please. That's the whole idea. That's why all the people send all these graduation invitations. They don't care if you come or not. Just send the money. Can I get an amen? You know how it is. Why? Because this is the culture. They're going, hey, man, give me. I have to arrive, and how I'm going to arrive at this level of success is when I have money. So I did a little research, and now here's the biblical perspective that ties all of this together, from careers to jobs to education, and we're trying to figure all this out. How does it relate to the Bible? 1 Timothy chapter 6, 6 through 8. When we came into the world, we brought nothing. And when we die, we can take nothing out. Can I get an amen on that? So this is just one. So if we have food and clothes, we will be satisfied with that. Now, does anybody just have food and clothes out there? Right now, I can tell you right now, let me go to the first part of this verse, and this is found when it's just kind of giving the ending first, it's just to remind you, like, hey, the bottom line is if we have food and we have clothes, shouldn't we be satisfied? Well, actually, the beginning, it says devotion to God is, in fact, a way for people to be very rich, but only if it makes them satisfied with what they have. See, this is the thing. It's when you start talking about devotion to God, or you start thinking about how am I going to be really successful, we start looking at what everybody else has. We start looking at what they have, the clothes, the food, whatever it is. And here's the thing. Most of you in this room, you walked in and at least you got a donut. Can I get an amen on that? You're like, oh, I got some donut and I got something to drink, man. I can be satisfied. And then I started thinking about the clothes part. And it's like, unless you're watching online, you have clothes on in this room. Can I get an amen on that? Everybody online, you know what I'm saying. I mean, you got up and you just turn the TV on. You're trying to learn. But hey, you're safe there. But still, even with donuts and drinks in hand and clothes on our body, most of us are not content. That is why we keep looking around. That is why we forget about devotion to God and we forget about what 1 Timothy is saying. It's like, hey, man, I can be just satisfied with what I have. No, we want something more. That's why even when I ask you, hey, if you could have a little bit more, wouldn't you want everybody? Absolutely. So here's my next question to all the graduating seniors, to all of us that have been graduating for a long time. How much would you need to be happy? I know what some of you are thinking. Just a little more. Because that's what we all say. How can we be happy? I just need just a little bit more. Well, Jesus, thank God, spoke to us. He addressed this issue, and he is again trying to teach all of us, regardless of our age, what it's really all about and what is success. Luke 12, 16 through 19. Then Jesus used this story, because he was great at stories. And he says, hey, there was a rich man who had some land, and his land grew into a very good crop of food, right? You get it? He thought to himself, man, what will I do? I have no place to keep all my crops. Then I said, I know what I'll do. This is our big dream in America. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. I'll put my wheat and good things together, and I'm going to have these new barns. And then I can say to myself, man, I'm the man. I have so many good things stored up. I've saved enough for years. So now what can I do? I can rest, eat, drink, and enjoy life. Retirement. Everybody's like, yes, Jesus, please help me. And this is the thing. Jesus was telling that story because even then they could relate to it. Because this is what we all hope for, to be so successful that we can just take it easy. Man, we can have so much and everything's in it. We're like, man, I'm finally good. So if you go, well, Justin, what does that look like for you? It might look something like this. I'd love to have a beach house like this. Anybody like that? You just wake up and be like, ah, this is so nice. Now, I know what y'all are saying. No pastor deserves that. So good luck, Chuck. And I'm like, right, I get it. It'll never happen. But maybe for you, I'm wanting you to be so successful, you invite me for the week, all right? So just whatever it is. But some of you are going, all right, well, it's not when I get this house or when I get this retirement place. Or some of you say, boy, when I just get married, when I finally find my person, I'm going to be happy. Or when my kids are finally born and I get to have my children, I'm going to be so happy. Some of you are going, no, it's when my kids are out of my life and I don't have to pay for daycare anymore. Can I get an amen on that? Some of you are going, there's always something. It's like, well, if I had this or I didn't have that, if this happens, if that happens. Man, when I can finally rest at that point, I won't have to pay for childcare. I won't have to pay for this. Ah, Or if I finally hit the lottery, if I finally get the perfect job, if they finally give me the raise, there's always an if, and we're looking and searching. And for some of us that are graduating, boy, when I finally go to school and get away from mom and dad, when I finally graduate, some of them have been in college already, they're like, just give me a job. We're always looking to the next thing. Boy, that's what I want. Well, Jesus knows us. He knows us so well, man. This is why the story is so powerful. Because look at how the story takes a turn. But God said to the man, you foolish man, tonight your life will be taken from you. So what will get those things you have prepared for yourself? Who's going to get them? Who's going to get those things that you've prepared for yourself? You're like, well, my kids are. Yeah, you're like, yeah, but you ain't. And this is how it'll be for those who store up things for themselves and are not rich towards God. He's like, hey, so what? All this that you're working for, all this energy, all this effort, this is what makes it so tough. We live in a culture, in a world, where you see a Mark Cuban, and we're talking about go to this school and go to that school and get this job and buy this car and have that house and do this and marry them and have this many kids. And in the American world, this is success. And Jesus is pulling back and going, hey, man, even 2,000 years ago, that same culture existed. So, you know, if some of you are saying, well, Justin, you have any advice? Yes, learn from my mistakes. Learn from things that I've looked at and go, man, you know what? Good advice and bad advice. I'm actually going to give you some bad advice. You go, what? Well, here it is. If you want to be miserable, if you're in this room right now and you're graduating or you have already graduated and you're trying to figure out, how can I make my life miserable? Number one, focus on being ungrateful. There's some bad advice for you. If you really want to be miserable, don't thank God for what you have. Always be looking for something else. Be ungrateful. 1 Thessalonians says it like this. Whatever happens, always be thankful. See, there's good advice. This is how God wants you to live in Christ Jesus. But for us, what we do, I have done, we're jealous, we're critical, we gripe, we complain, we're envious, we ignore God's goodness. We just start looking around and complaining, and instead of saying, hey, no matter what happens, I've got something to be thankful for today. Because truthfully, when it comes to success, for all of us in here, that's going to be different for everyone in this room. And God was going, what I'm hoping that you'll do is when you have accomplished anything, he got it down to the bare necessities. Man, if you've got food to eat and some clothes to wear, man, be thankful. Be grateful. But in America, we're like, no, 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 no. I need more food, and I need better clothes. And I'm not satisfied until that happens. And so we get in this vicious cycle, and you and I already know the answer to this. That in the long run, it begins to zap the energy and the life out of us. And as all of us in this room, we're trying to now raise our kids, and we're saying, get in the same rat race. Go get more debt, man. Get in school and just pile it up. Oh, go take this job. Go do that job. You got to find something better than that. You should never take that. You need the best job. You deserve more than that. And then we just get, and it starts rocking our world, and we can become miserable very quickly. So you talking about some bad advice? Hey, if you want some bad advice, just be ungrateful. Wake up every day and just go, I don't have enough. This is pitiful. I can't believe this has happened. And complain and gripe and be envious and be jealous and point the finger and never satisfied. You're like, oh, that's awesome, Justin. Or you can take the biblical advice. Whatever happens today, always be thankful. This is how God wants you to live in Christ Jesus. Now, I've said this a couple of times. I said it last week, but like a guy like Mike Kemp, a guy like Eric Johnson, both going through some medical concerns. They've had great jobs. They've been successful, beautiful wives, very successful guys. But now, here's the thing. When that adversity comes in and that struggle comes in, you have a choice. You can gripe, you can complain, you can be negative, or you can go, whatever happens, I'll be thankful. So if you're raising kids today, if you're evaluating your own life, is this true of you? I can tell you, for this pastor, it's not always been true. I can find myself real quickly looking at someone else over here, looking at that over there, comparing myself to this church or that pastor or this room or that room or that. And the next thing you know, you're not happy. You're actually pretty miserable. Second thing, Compare what you have to people who have more. That's why I'm kind of leading into that. If you really want to be miserable, and this is so difficult in the age of the telephone, can I get an amen? Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, this generation is raised up looking at everyone else. Speaking of the phone, answer it. God's calling, right? Why in the world do we focus so much on this and we get so into everything that's going on? Because we're comparing ourselves to other people. It doesn't matter if it's people lower than us, people greater than us, we're in this battle. And the Bible is very clear. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says that we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with someone who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. So it's this idea of going, hey, let's go ahead and keep it real. In our culture, we're always comparing. Everybody's looking at everybody else, and he's like, hey, man, let's don't get in that habit because it's not a good habit to get in, and you will be miserable because someone's going to have more or someone's going to have less. It'll either lead to pride or arrogance or depression. Now, I'm going to give you a great example in my home. Are you ready for this? I hate HDTV. Can I get an amen somewhere? Now, you're going, well, why do you say that, Justin? Because all I can do is look at my house and go, man, that needs to be better. Oh, this should, why can't I have this? And then when Chip and Joanna, I want to punch Chip and Joanna in the throat. Where did shiplap come from, all right? All of a sudden, next thing you know, everybody's like, oh, but we got to have this, and we got to have that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It don't take long for any one of us to watch one of these television shows. There's also hot rod, you know, shows for my brother and cars and all that stuff. You look at this, and you look at that, and you go, oh, I want that. Man, I need this. Man, it's my house, it's my car, whatever it is. Comparison never works because it leads to either pride, like, man, I got something they don't have, that's awesome, or jealousy. Man, I want what they have. And you can talk in both categories. It can go from salary all the way to looking at someone's washer and dryer. Do you remember when those first washer and dryers came out that were like the bad to the bone? They had all them front loaders. And everybody's like, I was looking at those. And I had the old load top. You know what I'm talking about? Like, that one. And I was like, man, it'd be cool to have some of those. It didn't take long to realize, though, that those front loads didn't work as well, and we went back and bought the old ghetto washer and dryer. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? It's the truth. We were like, oh, we need those. We got them, and then we were like, sell them. Why? Because we saw other people having them, and thinking, man, that's what we got to have. We need that. And I'm like, man, it takes 3 hours to wash a load of clothes. You can have it. I wanted to go back to the old school. We bought them at a garage sale. This is no lie. We went back and bought an old school washer and dryer at a garage sale. And my whole point being is we were looking at what everybody else had and thinking we got to have it. And the truth was it wasn't what we needed. We're all guilty of it. It doesn't matter if it's washer and dryers or salaries or cars or homes or whatever. If you want to be miserable, start comparing what you have with someone else. Young people, listen to me. Please remember, look at their Instagram. Oh, my gosh, look at what they're doing. Look at where they are. The truth is, man, it will make you either jealous or prideful. And neither one are a good place to live. Number three, pursue temporary possessions over eternal treasures. All right, so let's go ahead and keep it as real as we can keep it now. When you look at Scripture, Jesus talks more about money than he did both heaven and hell combined. Now think about that. Why in the world would Jesus talk so much about that? Because he knew us. He knew the culture 2,000 years ago, and he knows the culture today. And it hasn't changed for the better. It's changed for the worse. And so what he was trying to do is like, I know what you're going to be tempted to do, and I know how this is going to work. So what I'm trying to tell you guys is I'm going to write all this down. I'm going to tell you all these stories so that in this generation, 2,000 years ago, you can apply these lessons. You got to remember, too, they were in severe poverty compared to where we are today. But yet he was still teaching the same lessons. Now you fast forward to where we are, and like, we got a lot. But here we are still wanting more, still not satisfied, still pushing for more. And then Jesus says things like this. This is where he goes, hey, man, this ain't what we're living for. Watch out. Guard yourselves from every kind of greed. And I'm like, all right, Lord, work on me. Because your true life is not made up of the things you own. You all right so far? Check your pulse. Your cars, your houses, your boats, whatever it is, I'm right there with you. No matter how rich you may be, if you and I were to be honest, and I'm being very transparent and honest when I say this, I spend more time on my house and my yard than I do on a lot of other stuff. And one of the reasons why is because I think short term. I focus not on eternity. I'm focusing on the weed that's in my flower bed. I'm focusing on the deck that is destroyed, that is literally falling through. I'm like, hey, man, I need to replace this. I need to get this fixed. And it's part of our culture. So instead of making fun or talking about somebody else, I'm talking about me. So I know that if I struggle, you have to struggle. And Jesus knew that we would both struggle. So he's going, hey, listen, man, be careful. Guard yourself. Be on guard. Pay attention. Graduating senior. Graduating college. Someone who owns a company, a business, or whatever it may be. Be careful. Every time I do a funeral, I use this next scripture. And the reason I use this scripture, you'll see, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, fix your eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Now, why do I focus on this? And in the context of a funeral, I am talking about the casket. Because many of the times when you go to the graveside and we all sit down at the graveside, I see all of the family staring at the casket. And they start thinking, it's like, this is it. I'll never see them again. This is all I have. And all of those emotions are flooding them. So I thought of this scripture, and I've said it for years and years. It's like, hey, man, don't fix your eyes on this casket. Because, listen, don't fix your eyes on what is seen, because what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. So I tell them, like, man, don't fix your eyes here. Because of our relationship with Christ, because of his death, because of his resurrection, we have a promise for those that are in Jesus, we'll see him again. So don't fix your eyes on what is seen, because what is seen is temporary. It seems like it's forever, but it's not. Jesus made these promises to us. He said, listen, man, you ain't living for this world. This world is not your home. That there is an eternal world. So don't fix your eyes on what is seen, because, man, this is temporary. Fix your eyes on what is unseen. But let's all be honest. This is tough. Everyone in here, we have the tendency to go, no, if I can't see it, if I can't touch it, if I can't experience it, I don't know if it's real. I can see my new car. I can see my new boat. I can focus on that. It's hard to focus on something you can't see. Now, I've just started surfing with Tony and Terry, my friends, last year. I can tell you, every time that we go out there, this is what we do. We fix our eyes on our boat, and we go, man, I say our, because Tony, thanks for paying for everything, but it's our boat, you know what I'm saying? But as we go through, we're always wanting the next boat. Oh, look at that one. That one has push buttons that move the wake and do this and do that. And I keep thinking about, as I walk through this, as I'm like, man, Jesus is trying to speak to us. He's trying to teach us. He's trying to help us teach our kids to say, hey, listen, man, don't fix your eyes on what it's seen. It's easy to fix your eyes on this. But fix it on what is eternal. And that's not eternal. And you would already know this. I have a 1976 boat that I have at my house. It's definitely not eternal. Can I get an amen on that? Ben, every time I go out there, the battery's dead, something's broke. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like going, man, what's going on? And all I can think about as I was preparing this message, good advice, bad advice, is how many times in life we're working so hard for material possessions, for success, however you'll define it. And we're pushing our kids to it. We're pushing our teenagers to it. As adults, we're striving for it. Energy, effort, to success, success. And when you get success, what do you want? Things you can see. A nicer house, a nicer car, a nicer boat, a vacation home, the ability to be able to sit down and rest. For some in the generation, it's like, I want to be known. Maybe you're starting a new business. And they're going, man, I want to be known. I want to be famous. I want people to know. My son wants to make movies one day. I'm sure in his mind, he's like, somebody's like, man, I want to be famous. I want people to know that that's what I do. Well, let me give you some advice. I mean, let me help you with this. And how I'm going to help you with this is not from my experience, but probably from what the world views as the most successful, famous people that have walked the planet. Them giving you advice. So if you're in here today and you're going, all right, I saw all these scriptures. I saw what Jesus was saying. I saw what he was challenging me to, but you're still not convinced that it's accurate or that's true. And you're going, well, Justin, how are you going to prove it to me today? Is it a Steve Hartman video? No, he's on vacation this week, guys. You can't expect him to work every week, y'all, okay? But I can tell you how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it with more than one famous person. I'm going to do it with a lot of different famous people. I'm going to do it with a lot of different successful famous people. I'm going to probably show you things and let you hear things you've never heard before from their mouth, because me included, I haven't heard it before. But I want you to listen real close. Because as you're striving for success and you're striving for more and you're striving for fame, remember the words of Jesus. He's going, hey, man, that's not where it's at. Hey, man, be thankful for what you got. Hey, man, just be at peace. Man, don't try to work so hard, store up all this junk, because, dude, it's going to be gone. You can be taken from you today. It doesn't lead to happiness. But we don't believe it. We keep striving more, 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 more. So as I did the research, I found these celebrities, many that you will recognize, some that you may not, listen close to their good advice. Watch.
When How I Met Your Mother first went on the air, I ran into an actress that I knew, and she said, are you just like so happy all the time?
Why am I unhappy? Okay. Okay, so Stephanie Gaga hybrid person. Why are you unhappy? Why is it that you want to quit music?
And I remember thinking like, oh, that sitcom's coming. Like, that sitcom, it's coming, it's coming. And when I got it, I mean, I won't say it was a depression, but you kind of go through a disappointment because that fame or that thing didn't satisfy the way you thought it was going to satisfy.
I had bought into the not uncommon notion that when I taste success, when I get over there, then I'll be happy. But the strangest thing happened. As the show got more successful, I got more depressed.
I thought it would be good to be rich and famous. It would be good to be the opposite of this. It would be good to have stuff. It'd be good to have money. It'd be good to be invited to the party. Well, I've been invited. I've been in. We're having this chat in a private Swish members club in East London. It's super cool. There's bare brick walls. Everyone's double good looking. But I've been inside now. I've seen the other side of the looking glass. It ain't fucking worth it. It's not good. Don't feed your soul. I still feel empty inside.
I had everything a man could want, even then. I was a millionaire. I had a beautiful women in my life. I had cars, a house, an incredible, a solid gold career, and a future. And yet, on a daily basis, I wanted to commit suicide.
As a Beatle, we made it, and there was nothing to do. We had money, we had fame, and there was no joy.
The media told me every day, and it's telling you every day, what it is to be successful. So you've got MTV Cribs, you've got billionaires in front of your face, you have these extrinsic, external goals that will say, oh, Tom Shadyac has arrived. He has the right house, the right car, he flies privately. And when I got there, it was empty.
I was successful in the music business, I was successful in modeling, in television, in real estate. So I made all this money and I had all this success, and here I was going, okay, I still don't feel any different.
We are told that if we're beautiful, if we're skinny, if we're successful, famous, if we fit in, if everyone loves us, that we'll be happy. But that's not entirely true.
Do you feel that you're happier right now than when you were broke, or not really?
Sometimes. It's a sometime thing. But I feel like the way that I have money kind of took away a lot of my happiness.
If you are looking for fame to define you, then you will never be happy.
and you will always be searching for happiness, and you will never find it in fame.
I think it can completely destroy a human being, and I got to a point where—
Did it almost destroy you?
It almost completely destroyed me. But I was lucky enough by the grace of God to have people that care about me enough to be like, hey, Justin, come on.
Does money bring happiness to you?
No. It brings some happiness. It brings comfort. But absolutely.
I was thinking that if you have a lot of money, you don't have to worry about money.
You don't have to worry about
it. And a lot of people in the world have to worry about
money. They do. And it's tough. It's extremely tough. We've been through times in our family where we had to worry. It's stressful on relationships, on everything. And I'm very happy that I don't right now. Who knows, you know, forever.
You've seen some of the most famous people in the world. You've seen their success. Most of them would say they're the most successful. I ran across this quote from Bob Marley. Some people are so poor, all they have is money. I thought about how the world is going, hey, we're kind of waking up to it. I mean, I kind of see what's going on. Well, here's the thing. As believers, as Christians, you have any good advice, Justin? Yeah, I do. Remember this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, graduating senior, anyone in this room, that you are God's masterpiece, that you are eternal, that you will last forever, that we are eternal, and that each and every one of you, there's no one like you. God put you on this planet and designed you exactly the way you are, unique from everyone else. He has created you brand new in Christ Jesus, so that you can accomplish what it is that he wants to accomplish, to do the good things that he's planned for you long ago. And I can tell you that what he wants you to accomplish is not make more money for yourself. He does not want you to be ungrateful. He does not want you to compare yourself to someone else because there's no one like you. He doesn't want you to focus on what you can see. He wants you to focus on the eternal. So when you see this scripture, I'm telling you that all of us are on this planet for a reason. And so the best advice I can give you is, like I said before, don't compare yourself to other people. Take time to be thankful and grateful for what God has done and focus on the eternal. God put you on this planet for a reason bigger than yourself, to do some awesome things in his name to further his kingdom. But you and I have a choice. Will we be successful in that? I hope and pray that my kids will be, that I will be, that you will be, because when we are, the world truly is a better place. Not looking at celebrities for answers, not looking to the billionaires for examples, although we can learn from them. There are great advice that you can learn. But make it personal between you and Jesus, and he's going to whisper in your ear, you're special. Don't forget you're special. Use your gifts, your talents, your abilities to further my kingdom. Because if your life is taken tonight, as that one story told by Jesus, and you face him eye to eye, he ain't asking about our boats, our houses, our cars, our businesses. He's asking about what we did to further his kingdom, his name, for people. And guess what? You're here today, and we got a chance to do it. Would you pray with me? God, as we're in this room, I think about everybody and all of their unique circumstances and situations and how we're so tempted to compare ourselves to other people and look around at what they have or what they don't have, or to not really be grateful for what it is that you've done for us. But I pray that right now, today would be a turning point, that we would look at our life a little differently. We would see ourselves the way you see us, that we are masterpieces, that you created us brand new in Christ Jesus to accomplish some amazing things for your kingdom. But it starts with trusting you above everybody and anything else. More than our money, more than our careers, more than our colleges, more than our jobs. God, we're trusting you. And God, I pray that as I learn to do that more, that my kids, that our communities, that our friends could learn from that. Because God, you know I have a long way to go on that. I get wrapped up in society or culture just like everybody else does. And so I am praying, Jesus, that you would help us to keep our eyes on you, to trust you. And for someone that's never given their life to you, that today they would. They'd realize that when that life on this planet is over, that there is an eternity. And where we spend that eternity is determined by one relationship, and that is our relationship with you. And I thank you, Jesus, that you made a way to die for my sins, my mistakes. You made a way, God, if I'll believe in you, we have the power to be born again, to have a fresh start, a new beginning, and that can start today when we ask you to come into our life. So help us, Jesus, if someone does that today, that they would change the direction and they would begin to experience why they're put on this planet, and you would show them what it is that you want them to accomplish for your kingdom, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Can I get an amen somewhere? Come on. Hey, listen, I am thankful, and I pray that you will remember to tell these lessons to your kids. You'll encourage them. Maybe you can get them to go back and watch it, because we're in a world, man, that's throwing around a lot of stuff. So hang in there, dude. Do not give up. Thank you for being here today. Congratulations, seniors. All of us, if you need something, man, holler at us. Please tell us if you prayed the prayer. Download that app and tell us on the communication card. Until next week, what do we say? Peace. Thanks for coming, y'all.